Controversy flares over the budget deal in Congress and Wall Street regulation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Congressional leaders seem confident they can reach a deal to keep the government funded before Thursday's midnight deadline. But there's growing opposition to one element in particular of this proposed trillion-dollar spending bill. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been covering this debate for us. Tracy, we're talking about an element of the bill that would dismantle some previous financial reforms?
Yes. Tucked in the government funding bill is a provision that would roll back part of the Dodd-Frank financial reforms of 2010. We're talking about a restriction on trading derivatives. Banks had used these derivatives or swaps to sell risky loans, which contributed to the financial crisis. So Dodd-Frank said the banks aren't allowed to do these swaps in parts of the banks that are federally insured. This new spending proposal would largely undo that.
And we're hearing that this is increasingly bothering Democrats.
Right. Democrats have said this provision was written by lobbyists and doesn't belong in a must-pass spending bill. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts said yesterday that it would, quote, let derivatives traders on Wall Street gamble with taxpayer money and get bailed out by the government when their risky bets threaten to blow up our financial system. So she wants it removed from the bill. On the other hand, former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has previously questioned the efficacy of making banks spin out these divisions, saying he's not sure how it makes them safer and it might make it harder for them to compete internationally.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you very much. Disney's jumping into the educational app business. Today, it's rolling out a series of math software applications for preschoolers with Mickey, Minnie, et al. Doing the teaching. But smaller app developers may be also getting a different kind of lesson from our Learning Curve desk. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
The market for mobile learning games is somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million. And Disney wants a piece of it.
There's more than 100,000 apps in the Apple App Store alone in North America for learning and education.
That's Andrew Sugarman with Disney Publishing. With so many small players, Disney spotted an opportunity. It's easy for Donald Duck to stand out. But, says Justin Reich, a research fellow at the Berkman Center at Harvard, it'd be a loss if big players drown out independent game producers.
Certainly big companies like Disney do not have a monopoly on quality. They can oftentimes, there's a phrase in the industry which is shovelware.
As in, bring it out by the shovelful. Reich thinks some of the responsibility for keeping the learning app market open lies with the Apple and Google app stores. He's hoping they won't be dazzled by marketing dollars over quality when choosing which games to highlight. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The FT 100 share index in London is down 2/3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can't make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling, and you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Our coverage about economic renewal in Congo continues this morning with a look at gold mining there. A lot of that happens in the shadow economy with gold smuggled out of the country or controlled by armed groups there. The Congolese government is trying to bring order to that industry by putting operations into the hands of multinationals in return for desperately needed tax revenue. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is just back from the region and filed this report.
Maître Crispin Mutuedo has a problem. He's with a mining company called Banro. It's received one of thousands of concessions from the Congolese government to mine. But
the law says no miner is authorized to work in these areas covered by the concession. And yet every time we show up at a place, we find artisanal miners beat us to it by several years.
Artisanal miners just means regular people who are out digging with picks and shovels. People like Chugi Bisimwa. Bisimwa is 22. He's knocking away bits of hard red clay with a hammer and a pick.
Looking for minerals, gold. Here we are at least 120, 150 feet down.
There are an estimated 500,000 artisanal miners in Congo. Biamungu Ngalikiana is one of 6,000 people making a living off the land at a mine called Luhwinja.
Banro comes and tells us to leave regularly. I resist because there's nowhere else to go. There's no work. If I end up in the street, I'll go back to the bush and start robbing people again. And maybe I'll rob Banro.
These risks of unemployment and insecurity are not lost on Mr. Mutwedo with Banro Mining.
These people who are there, these are people who we have to take seriously. Because if you don't, and if they're out of work, you will be too.
Banro wants to offer artisanal miners compensation in alternative mining sites. In some cases, they've been able to hire a few miners as truck drivers or other staff. Valentin Lubala is president of the Miners Association at a mine called Mukunge, also in the Banro concession.
We understand the site belongs to them. We negotiated, and Banro said they'd give us some time, and the government could help us relocate.
So what's the holdup?
The problem comes from the regional government.
Technically, it's not legal to share a concession with artisanal miners, and the regional minister of mines has refused to sign off on their agreement. A lot of groups are trying to change that to allow some kind of workaround for the thousands of people making their living from the earth, but for now, it's easier to find gold than solutions. In Luhwinja, DRC, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And there's news today. Nearly one in five people in America have unpaid medical debts. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says a lot of this is confusing information from hospitals and insurance companies about what costs how much. About half the people with unpaid medical debt have no other signs of financial distress, suggesting they could pay if they knew who was supposed to get the checks and when. Unpaid medical debt can sneak up and hurt a person's credit scores. The CFPB boss calls medical debt a maze, like the one Jack Nicholson gets trapped in at the end of The Shining. He said maze. I added the part about The Shining. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.